This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. The ASCAP Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson Award-winning program Between the Keys with Jed Distler is a production of the Classical Network. Funding for this program is provided in part by listening members like you. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and it's time once again for Between the Keys. A listener wrote to me on my Between the Keys Facebook page asking why I had not presented a program devoted to etudes in quite a while. And I checked, and actually it hasn't been all that long. We did have an etude episode on June 20th, 2017, according to my trusty Between the Keys database. And in fact, that was episode 105. Well, here we are at episode 167, and we return to the land of etudes. We've got etudes galore this hour. I probably should explain what an etude is for those of you who don't know. It's a piece of music that addresses a specific technical issue or a technical challenge for a pianist to overcome and master. Many piano etudes are basically teaching pieces for didactic purposes, but the etudes that we are going to be exploring this hour are pieces that also have unquestionable musical substance, or at the very least, musical charm. We are going to cover etudes ranging from the early 19th century to recent times. So let's start digging into the music, and we're going to begin with two different etudes that Max Reger titled Perpetuum Mobile, which means perpetual motion. And in the case of Max Reger, perpetual motion at very fast tempos is what we've got. We will hear these two Max Reger etudes performed by Marcus Becker. Heard these two pieces before? Chances are you have not, because Max Reger's piano music doesn't often turn up in recitals, except maybe for his large variation sets, and even those aren't done too often. Reger titled both of the pieces that we just heard Perpetuum Mobile, and I think they were splendidly performed by Marcus Becker, who so far is the only pianist to have recorded all of Max Reger's solo piano music, at least so far as I know. The composer Nikolai Kapustin is famous for combining American jazz piano idioms with traditional classical forms, and he does so with this amazing level of imagination and dazzling virtuosity that I personally find irresistible. Here is one of his piano etudes that is not as flashy as some of his other etudes. It's more about harmonic sophistication and about phrasing and timing. And these qualities definitely come across in the composer's own performance. This is one of Kapustin's three etudes for piano, Opus 67. He titles it Grappole, or is it Grappole? It's Grappole. I don't know, but I think you're going to like it. Nikolai Kapustin performing his own etude titled Grappole, or Grappole, or Grappole. I wish I knew how to pronounce it. Anyway, it is from his Three Etudes, Opus 67. We're going to come back to Kapustin later on the program, but Foist, while we are in a jazzy state of mind, let's go back to the 1920s and to the Czech composer Erwin Schulhoff, whose music embraced the jazz and dance music of his day. Schulhoff also made piano recordings of some of his works in the late 1920s. So right now we're going to hear Schulhoff play the tango from his five jazz etudes. Erwin Schulhoff at the piano performing the tango from his five jazz etudes. Schulhoff lived from 1894 to 1942, where he tragically died in a concentration camp. Now, listen to this little snippet from a letter that Schulhoff wrote to his composer friend and colleague Alban Berg. It goes, "I am boundlessly fond of nightclub dancing, so much so that I have periods during which I spend whole nights dancing with one hostess or another, out of pure enjoyment of the rhythm and with my subconscious filled with sensual delight. Thereby I acquire phenomenal inspiration for my work, as my conscious mind is incredibly earthly, even animal, as it were." I love that quote. A few weeks back, I featured the pianist Rebecca Omordia, who has this marvelous new CD release out devoted to piano music by African composers. Let's hear several pieces by Fred Onuwelasuoke from his 24 Studies in African Rhythms. Thank you. We just heard music by Fred Onuwelasuoke from his 24 Studies in African Rhythms, study number 15 entitled Mother Earth, followed by study number 11, Aye Wiomo Dance number 3. The pianist was Rebecca Omordia. We go from African rhythms to Russian romanticism with music by Sergei Bortkevits, who lived from 1877 until 1952. The pianist is Cyprian Katsaris. Etude number 7 in F sharp minor by Sergei Bortkevits from his 10 Etudes, opus 15. The pianist was Cyprian Katsaris. Robert Schumann's Symphonic Etudes, opus 13, essentially are a set of variations in the form of etudes. Each etude addresses a particular technical challenge, such as the ninth etude, which is a study that's all about playing staccato chords with all of the elegance and suppleness that one can muster. This little etude takes only about a half a minute to play. Maybe it takes more time if you take the repeats. I thought we could compare some performances of this ninth etude. I'm going to first play the performance, and after that I will identify the pianist. So here's number 1. The ninth etude from Robert Schumann's Symphonic Etudes, and very well played by Emmanuel Axe, who, by the way, was a recent guest on Between the Keys. Of course, you can't really judge performances of this etude out of context, out of the context of the whole piece, without really knowing the tempo relationships between the etude that comes before and the etude that comes after. But that said, we're still comparing versions of this ninth etude anyway. Here's the next contestant. Was a test recording from around 1941 with pianist Dinu Lapati, and even with the poor recording quality, you can tell that the performance has all of the clarity that you would expect from this artist, but also those little dynamic surges that you might not associate with him. Let's hear another version of the Ninth Etude from Schumann's Symphonic Etudes. The loud parts were not very well controlled and kind of heavy and slapdash. That was the pianist Alexander Brilovsky. Now, what about this next performance of the Ninth Etude from Schumann's Symphonic Etudes? Let's listen. Excellent playing, very precise and very poised, but there's also a nice forward impetus and energy to the performance. And the pianist was our recent Between the Keys guest, Jean-Yves Thibaudet, playing the Ninth Etude from the Symphonic Etudes of Schumann. Now here's a version that I think is quite different. As you can hear, that was a slower tempo than the others we've been hearing, but a lot of inflection, a lot of bringing out different voices, perhaps a little self-aware, but I think the performance holds your attention. That was Andras Schiff playing the Ninth Symphonic Etude of Schumann. Now here's a version that's in a similar tempo. That was the pianist Wilhelm Kempf. I would not call his tempo anything close to the presto possibile, which means as fast as possible, that Robert Schumann asks for in this little etude. Yet I do like the performance. I like the sense of air in between the notes and the awareness of the counterpoint without belaboring the obvious. What does this next version sound like? I have one here. Let's just play it and see. ¶¶ don't know. I didn't care so much for that one. I found it very mannered. You know, those little pauses between sections and the little tenuto on the downbeat of the climax. I wasn't 100% convinced. That was pianist Andrea Kauten. Now, here's quite a contrast of a performance I'm going to play for you right now. The Ninth Etude from Schumann's Symphonic Etudes. The Ninth Etude of Schumann from the Symphonic Etudes. That was a very direct performance, I think, and with a lightness to it that makes the music actually sound easy. That was Vladimir Ashkenazy. I think we have time for two more comparisons. Here's one. Well, that's quite fast. Perhaps it's too fast in that it sacrifices a little bit of clarity for speed. And maybe it's a little bit dry, but still, the finger work is great. That was a recording from the 1940s with the Hungarian pianist Géza Anda. Now, fast as that was, I don't think it quite tops this next one for the speed record. In fact, I don't think any pianist does. Let's check it out. Wow, that just went by in a flash, right toward the finish line, and damn all the competition. That was the pianist Samson Francois, recorded in the early 1950s. We have been comparing recorded versions of the Ninth Etude from Robert Schumann's Symphonic Etudes, Opus 13. I think after all of that comparing or contrasting that we've been doing, I think we need a little bit of lyrical respite, don't you think so? So why don't we listen to one of the British composer Kenneth Layton's Opus 22 Etudes. This is an etude that's marked molto lento, and we're going to hear it performed by Angela Brownridge. Thank you. pianist Angela Brownridge performing music by Kenneth Layton, the Molto Lento from his Opus 22 Etudes for Piano. These are very beautiful pieces that really should be better known, I think. You are listening to Between the Keys, and my name is Jed Distler. We are featuring piano etudes this week. For some reason, the first of Felix Mendelssohn's three etudes, Opus 104, doesn't get played as often as the second or third in that set. So I thought that we could hear Nikita Mogiloff perform that first etude for us now. Etude Opus 104 Number 1 by Felix Mendelssohn in a 1988 recording by Nikita Mogiloff that was recently reissued as part of a 21-disc box set from Decca that features most of Nikita Mogiloff's recordings with the Decca and Philips labels. I'm not sure if you are familiar with the French composer Jacques Charpentier, who lived from 1933 until just recently. But he was a student of Olivier Messiaen, and he had a strong attraction to the traditions of the classical music of India, as also did Messiaen. And like Messiaen, Charpentier was interested in how the spiritual and musical substance of Indian classical music could inform one whose creative process was essentially rooted in Western traditions. Anyway, Charpentier wrote more than 150 works. Possibly the largest and most ambitious in scope are his Etudes Carnatiques for solo piano. This is a collection of 72 studies that respectively correspond to the 72 scales or ragas that comprise South Indian Carnatic traditions. Charpentier began writing the Etudes in 1957, and he worked on them on and off until completing the cycle in January of 1985. It adds up to 3 hours worth of music, and it's quite a project for one single pianist to undertake all of the Etudes. I recently met this pianist who actually performed the entire cycle of 72 etudes in a single concert, amazingly enough. This pianist is Giusy Caruso, and not only did she study the etudes with the composer, but she also made a serious investigation of traditional Carnatic music and dance in order to better understand and absorb the idioms that inform Charpentier's style. She is one of three pianists who have recorded the entire cycle of the Carnatic etudes. So let's hear a short etude that's based on the raga, or the scale, that is called Varuna Praya. First, pianist Anne Gales, who made the first complete recording of the Carnatic etudes. That was one of the 72 Etudes Carnatiques by Jacques Charpentier, performed by Anne Gales. Now, many years were to pass before a second complete recording of the Etudes appeared, and this second recording featured pianist Michael Schaefer. Let's listen to him play that same etude. Michael Schaefer at the piano. And now let's hear this same etude based on the Varuna Praya scale, or raga, in a live performance by Giusy Caruso. And you're going to hear that she prefaces the music by playing the scale on which this etude is based.
Thank you.
That was the 24th of Jacques Charpentier's 72 Études Carnatiques, and we heard it performed by Giusi Caruso. Her tempo, I think, is markedly slower than the other two pianists we heard in the same etude, but I think it brings out the music's asymmetry and the feeling for dance, while the other two performances stress more the music's virtuoso demands. I think both interpretive approaches have their own validity. And also the way that the music is recorded, I think, slants my response, perhaps. The microphones seem quite close in Giusi Caruso's performance, giving it a raw kind of immediacy, while the other two pianists benefit more from studio post-production. But in any case, this is a major cycle of piano etudes that deserve much wider attention. I would like to share with you now a more extensive etude by the Russian composer Sergei Lyapunov from his 12 Transcendental Etudes. The pianist is Vincenzo Maltempo. Thank you. We just heard pianist Vincenzo Maltempo performing Etude No. 9, titled Aeolian Harp, from Sergei Lyapunov's 12 Transcendental Etudes. And unlike certain politicians, I do keep my promises, and we will hear another etude by Nikolai Kapustin. His exhilarating jazz-inspired etudes just knock me out, especially this one. This is the prelude from his 8 concert etudes, Opus 40. The pianist is Marc-André Hamelin. Playing the first of Nikolai Kapustin's 8 concert etudes, Opus 40. And that brings our program of eclectic etudes to a rousing conclusion. To do justice to the genre of the piano etude, we would have to have at least 100 shows, and certainly more. But I will have at least one, hopefully two other etude episodes coming up fairly soon. But let me remind you that this program, Between the Keys, is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. My name is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and I do look forward to us being together next week at this time for Between the Keys. Have a great week, take good care of yourself, and please, please, please be kind.